The death toll is now 6, and the White House says you might want to prepare for more casualties in Operation Epic Fury. The Supreme Court tells California schools you might want to notify parents whose kids want to change genders, or you'll face legal consequences. Oil traders say you might want to get ready for surging gas prices at the pump. Overseas oil supply concerns definitely on the rise. And researchers say you might want to get a dog if you want to feel better and live longer. And pump a little iron while you're at it. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you here again for the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Tuesday morning, March 3rd, 2026. It's a beautiful day here in Watford City where I'm coming to you from this morning. I see that our high temperature expected today, right around 55. We were right there yesterday as well. A glorious day. Not much wind, a lot of sunshine. Record high, 71. So I don't think we're going to get there today. I don't think we're anywhere near 71 for a record high in Fargo. In fact, just updating my screen here, 61. Still not too bad in 2000. The Watford City record was set back in 1905. So isn't that interesting that you have the warmest temperature recorded on this day, and it was more than 100 years ago. Isn't it weird how temperatures do that? Fargo average high 29, Watford City average high about 6-7 degrees warmer than that. Interesting the differences in temperatures in Watford City. I'm actually a little bit further north of Fargo, but seems to be a little warmer every time I come out this way. Hope your day is off to a great start. Good to be with you here today. We got a busy show today, a lot to cover. We got a couple guests today that I think you're really going to enjoy and appreciate. Our Governor Kelly Armstrong will be with us in the 10 o'clock hour. And coming up at 9:30 today, Levi Secord is going to be on the show today. He's the pastor at Christ Bible Church in St. Paul. I read you a column he wrote for World Magazine about a month ago, and he was talking about how Minnesota has had such difficulty just functioning as a state here recently, and he has a message for people of faith and how to stand up for the right things in the world we live in. And I really wanted to get him on the show once I read his column and got some good reaction from a few of you as well who said you appreciated that and could we get him on. So we're going to do that today. Got some updates on, I'm not going to say it, the war in Iran. I don't know what the right word is. If you want to say tactical operation, if you want to say attack, if you want to say involvement, I don't know how you define a war. If we're here for weeks and we keep getting troops killed, I think you have to call it a war without even saying if you like it, you think it's the right thing or the wrong thing. But at some point, it does become a war. Not sure when that point will be. We're going to keep updating you as we go along the way here in what is happening overseas in Iran today. So we got updates on that. A number of really interesting stories to pass along as well. Best thing I heard all day today, I had to expand my definition of best thing I heard all day. It's Mike Tobin from Fox News Channel actually getting my blood pressure up a little bit. But it's the kind of thing that we have to hear. We need to be aware. So I think you are going to maybe not enjoy it, but I think you're going to be glad that you know about it. Has to do with this new paid leave law in Minnesota. So we're all over the place today. We're out in the Bakken doing the show here this morning, coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln, 15 minutes or less for a new car, truck, or SUV, or a really nice pre-owned one. Check them out online, drivewithvision.com. Going to talk a lot about North Dakota, Fargo business today, Minnesota as well. We're all over the region here today. It's just the way we like it here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Reminder to you, you can call us today, 701-271-1100. That is the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. You can email me today, studio@flagfamily.com as well, studio@flagfamily.com. All right, let's get to it with the Morning Wire. This is a rapid-fire rundown of what's going on in the world around us as we set the table for the Steve Hallstrom Show today. We will gain 3 minutes and 19 seconds of daylight today. Back in Fargo, it's going to have the sunset at 6:15. It was a little bit later than that out here in the Bakken yesterday. Absolutely love this time of year. By the way, this kind of snuck up on me. Don't forget that daylight savings time returns this weekend. So Saturday, well, Saturday night, Sunday, however you want to look at it, you want to spring ahead, right? So set your clock ahead 1 hour on Sunday. Make sure you do that. In the markets today, well, we told you right off the top of the show, it's not pretty. Oil markets, stock markets, not pretty today. Dow Jones Industrial Average off 1,100 points right now, about 2.5%. S&P 500 is down 143. The NASDAQ down 477. This conflict in Iran, I guess you could call it that, has the traders spooked pretty much all over the board in the stock market. WTI crude oil has taken a jump as well, almost 8%. And crude oil now, after being sitting, kind of stuck in that 64, 65, 66 range for a long time, now has put about $12 a barrel on the oil price. And they're just talking about supply concerns with Strait of Hormuz being shut down, Iranian ability to produce being shut down. OPEC says they're going to try to help some, but we're still looking at surging oil prices. That means get ready. We're going to see a big jump coming at the gas pumps here in the coming days. It won't take us long to start seeing that. Probably by the time I drive home to Fargo tonight, we'll start seeing that at the pump. Gold today down $243 an ounce. Silver down $8.53. What's going on with silver? Holy smokes, that thing's like Bitcoin, up 10%, down 10%. Right now trading at $80.13. Speaking of Bitcoin, this has been all over the map here too recently. When I went to bed last night, I saw a note on it. I've got a little Bitcoin, not much, but a little. And it was just tipped over 70,000. I'm like, oh, good, because I added to my position a little bit under 70,000. But we're back down to 66,700. So I guess that's what you get. That's one you just really shouldn't look at on a daily basis. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.10. North Dakota at $2.74. Minnesota $2.99. And South Dakota $2.86. Diesel fuel today $3.89. That's up about 3 cents from yesterday. All right, what's going on in the news cycle today? Glad you asked, my friend. We have a lot to tell you about. What do you need to know about day three of the conflict in Iran? Well, the U.S. military says we are now up to 6 Americans killed. They found the remains of 2 more service members who were previously unaccounted for in that Operation Center strike that happened a couple of nights ago. Earlier in the day, Kuwait shot down 3 U.S. F-15 jets. The military called it a friendly fire incident. All crew members are safe. The Iran State Media Service Red Crescent says 787 Iranians have been killed by U.S. and Israeli forces. What the real number is, who knows? President Trump, by the way, said the war was the last best chance of addressing the threat posed by Iran's missile and nuclear program, and that the campaign could last 4 to 5 weeks, but it could potentially go longer than that. He told the New York Post, this is important, that he will not rule out sending ground troops into Iran if necessary. I think the appetite for this conflict will change significantly if we now have confirmation that ground troops are there. Not sure how you feel about it. Not sure how I feel about it quite yet. But I think the American people will lose appetite for this in a hurry. Secretary of State Rubio addressed key officials in Congress yesterday about this. And White House Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said, just to be clear, there are no current U.S. boots on the ground, but said we will not talk publicly about what we will or what we won't do. Major global carriers like Lufthansa and Air France have canceled thousands of flights over in the Middle East following the recent flare-up of tensions there. 23% of all scheduled flights to the Middle East, reports Fox Business, were canceled over the weekend. Closer to home, the Supreme Court has blocked a California law barring schools from notifying parents about transgender children. This is a great day, my friend. CBS News reports that this was an emergency appeal from the Thomas More Society, and Supreme Court granted approval. This clears a way for California schools to notify parents if their kids identify as transgender without the parents knowing about it, and the student does not have to approve of them notifying mom and dad. North Dakota's 8 commercial service airports saw 103,350 passenger boardings in January, making it the second highest total for January in state history, reports WDAY Radio. And the forum reports that local advocacy groups and law enforcement are sounding the alarm after reporting a significant increase in domestic violence cases involving strangulation in Cass County. They've had almost a doubling of those kind of crimes. So no good there. When we come back, story of the day. California schools must talk to parents. North Dakota's future depends on the choices we make today. And Americans for Prosperity North Dakota is proud to unveil their policy agenda for 2027, the North Dakota Road to Opportunity. They're pushing for the total elimination of the state income tax and expanded property tax relief, and they're calling for a North Dakota Reins Act to rein in government overreach. They're also fighting for education savings accounts that will empower parents by giving them the best possible options for every student. You can view the full plan, find out how to get involved at afpnd.org, afpnd.org. Glad to have Americans for Prosperity. They've been pretty big nationwide, but haven't had a real beachhead here in North Dakota that's been active anyway for a while. And here they are again, and I love to see that. 701-271-1100 if you want to weigh in on anything we're talking about here today. There's so much conversation about what's happening in Iran, and obviously that's the big story going on. But I think the story of the day today comes from the Supreme Court. And I hate to be one of those guys that says, I'm glad we've got a majority of conservative justices on the court. Maybe that's not even the right way to say it. Justices should not be, at least with their rulings, conservative or liberal. They should just interpret the law as it's written. That's the job of any judge and certainly of these judges. But man, does it seem like we have judges that are interpreting according to a conservative playbook or a liberal playbook many times. Not always. Some of the quote-unquote conservative judges did not side with President Trump and the tariffs. Now, you could argue that just supporting the president doesn't make you a conservative either, and that's very, very true. But it doesn't always work that way. It does seem to in some cases, though. And with this story, it certainly does. CBS News, who, by the way, if you've not given them a chance lately, I'm not going to tell you how to think about CBS News. I get it. Long history of stepping on toes, doing things wrong, reporting or not reporting the right or the wrong things. But they're trying. I'm very convinced of that. I look at their homepage on their news website, and there's not headlines like you see on, you know, CNBC, for example, which is the worst of all things, a financial. But it's just like, you know, Trump's stupid tariff plan will hurt more Americans next year than this year. I mean, it's just ridiculous what you see there. Star Tribune is bad. Most ABC News is not good either. But CBS News seems to be trying. Take a look. Go to CBSNews.com and tell me what you think when you go online there and see that homepage. But they wrote this story up today. Many of the news organizations are writing up this story today, but I'm going to CBS News before I'm going to any of the rest of them. But the Supreme Court, it says here, cleared the way Monday, so it's yesterday, for California schools to tell parents if their children identify as transgender without getting the student's approval. This after granting an emergency appeal from the conservative legal group, the Thomas More Society. So the status was that even if a school employee, teacher, counselor, whatever, thought it was best to notify the parents, they had to get the approval of the kid first. I know, but it's California. Well, the order blocks, for now, a state law that banned automatic parental notification requirements if students change their pronouns or gender expression at school. Two sets of Catholic parents, represented by the Thomas More Society, say it caused schools to mislead them and secretly facilitate the children's social transition despite their objection. California argued that students have the right to privacy about their gender expression, especially if they fear rejection from their families, and school policies are aimed at striking a balance with parents' rights. But the high court sided with the parents. Boy, doesn't that feel good to hear that? The Supreme Court sided with the parents and reinstated a lower court order blocking the law and school policies while the case continues to play out. I had a conversation with someone who worked in the schools. This was probably a year or two ago now. But I said, okay, so what happens typically? This is a North Dakota school. What happens typically? And the conversation at the time was, well, we do try to, you know, get a hold of the parent. We try to let them know what's happening there. But in some cases, if the school feels like it's not safe, they may not. Don't know that there's a policy written down, but that's what happened a lot of times within those schools. And I started thinking to myself, what's the right way to handle this? And I'd be curious to hear what you think about this too. Now, in my mind, you have to notify the parents. The question for me is when? Do you right away? Do you in a couple of days, in a week or whatever? And this person I was visiting with agreed with me that there has to be a notification of parents. If you have a child with some sort of gender dysphoria or some sort of psychological condition where they believe that they are the opposite sex of what they are, then that child needs help to work through this time. A cross to bear, no doubt about it. Would not wish to be in their place, but the parents got to know. And I came down on the side of, okay, if the student is traumatized, I don't want my parents to know. It's going to go bad. My dad's going to beat me, whatever. Sometimes those things get exaggerated. We get it. But I don't mind giving a kid a few days, maybe a week, to okay, get yourself together. We're going to figure out how to approach your parents. But after a week, to me, it feels like you've got to let the parent know. If the kid is going through this, why would you not want to let a parent know? Now, I could argue that the day off is absolutely important. And every day that goes by is a ticking clock of a child who's struggling with things. But I don't know that there's anything wrong with giving them a day or two, a few days. But it feels like the right move for me is definitely within the week. And I'm curious what you think about that. The Supreme Court has ruled for religious plaintiffs in some other recent cases as well, reports CBS News, including allowing parents to pull their kids from public school lessons if they object to storybooks with LGBTQ plus characters. Seriously. Oh, man. Do we need to talk about sexuality in the grade school stuff with the kids here in any way or shape? The California order comes months after the court upheld state bans on gender identity-related health care for minors. The justices also seem to be leaning toward allowing states to ban transgender athletes from playing on girls' sports teams. Yeah, that one is coming up here soon as well. School policies for transgender students have been on the court's radar in other cases. The court rebuffed another similar case out of Wisconsin in December, but three conservative justices indicated they would have heard the case. Justice Samuel Alito called the school policies an issue of great and growing national importance. Thought that was interesting. And good job, Supreme Court. You have to let parents be parents. When you let the school counselor or the teacher be the voice of reason and authority over the parent in that child's life, you've committed a grave injustice. When we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, a St. Paul pastor has some words of encouragement and challenge for believers who want to make a statement about the world we live in. We're going to visit with Levi Secord, pastor of Christ Bible Church, when we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. Spent another great night last night at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City. It's my place to stay when I come out to Watford City. They have a great lounge. In fact, I was there last night and saw a buddy of mine from Fargo. Like, what are you doing here? He says, what are you doing here? So it was fun to catch up with my buddy Swanee. I hadn't seen him for quite a while. Out here doing some work for NDSU Extension, and I got a chance to see him last night as happy hour was wrapping up there at Teddy's. The lounge is open to the public Monday through Saturday, 4 to 10 p.m., so you don't have to be staying there. Just come on over, enjoy dinner or drinks if you're visiting Watford City or even if you live out here. Great place to be. I have stayed now in about every room they have, and I'm telling you, these are fantastic rooms. I think if you were in New York City and stayed in a room like that, it'd be $1,000 a night, easy. They're big rooms, very nice upscale bedding, great condition, very helpful, friendly people as well. Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City. Little Missouri Inn right next door as well. They've got that one. And two great places to stay if you find yourself in Watford City. We are pleased to be joined on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line this morning by Pastor Levi Secord, and he's the pastor of Christ Bible Church in St. Paul. And before I bring him in for the conversation, let me give you just a quick overview of the column that he wrote for World Magazine a couple of weeks ago. And this was after we saw a group of protesters invade that church in the Twin Cities not too long ago. And that was the city's church. And Pastor Secord made 3 points in his column, and he said, here's what you have to know. Whether you care about the culture war or not, it will eventually come for you. The invasion of city's church is a vivid reminder that leftism is an all-consuming and totalitarian ideology. It makes comprehensive demands on every aspect of life. It suffers no rivals, especially religious ones. Second, leadership matters, especially political leadership. Minnesota did not become a haven of fraud, lawlessness, and evil overnight. Over the last couple of decades, the state has moved from having a Republican governor to becoming known for its radical leftism. And third, Christians must not be intimidated by the vitriol of our opponents. Very wise words, and ones we need to hear. Pastor Secord, thank you so much for joining me today. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess I'm going to ask you first of all, there are some pastors who do not want to touch politics, would not say the kinds of things that you did about the liberal leadership in Minnesota. Why have you chosen to be comfortable speaking out publicly about things of politics when you were a pastor as well?
I think it comes from, one, first and foremost, studying Scripture. Passages like Colossians 1, 15 through 20 tell us that all things exist by, through, and for Christ, right? And that he is redeeming all things by the blood of his cross. So the Bible addresses all of life. And second, once we familiarize ourselves with how Christians have lived out that truth throughout history, this idea of Christianity not being political at all is really a recent phenomenon. It's an aberration. It is not how Christians lived throughout the last 2,000 years until about 100 years ago. We started to divide life up into an upper story, lower story, and keeping religion banished to the upper story has really brought on the great cultural rot that is eating away of the West, which we used to call Christendom.
So in your column, you write that you got a letter from or a text message from a fellow pastor friend, and he asked, with everything going on, how can you stay in Minnesota? And you said, everybody needs to know that Minnesota is not as crazy as or it was not always as crazy as it is now. As you've watched this, everything unfold in Minnesota, what have you seen that concerns you?
I think what we see is that, and this is where a lot of Minnesotans fail to realize this, at least some of the more moderate ones, is that the Democrat Party of Minnesota is not what it was 20 years ago. This is not some primarily union and labor driven organization. It is as woke as can be. It is left leaning as can be. I mean, when they had the trifecta a few years ago, they passed through the most extreme abortion bill that puts us on par with bastions of hope like North Korea. It passed the transgender insanity, curbing parental rights on transgender issues that you could, if you use the wrong pronoun, you could be viewed as abusing your child and lose custody of your child in Minnesota. And it doesn't say that explicitly, but I believe that's an implication because they listed it under the child abuse statutes. And so it's like the Minnesota that I grew up in, I spent almost my entire life in the state with a few short breaks out for things like seminary. It's not the Democratic Farmer Labor Union anymore. I mean, this is West Coast, left coast insanity that has taken over the state. And outside of the Twin Cities, that's not what Minnesota is, right? If you get outside of Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's a very red area, the rest of the state, but we're being held hostage by extremists in the cities.
You said that Minnesota, at best, is the eye of the storm in the culture war. At worst, Minnesota is a constant national embarrassment. but this is my home and these are my people, and there is a real need for bold gospel ministry in the state. How can people of faith, how can leaders in the church like yourself, if they want to maybe take some steps, maybe they've not wanted to get out there and put themselves out and comment from the pulpit or with their official communications, how do you take those first steps in making your position known if you would like to venture into that world?
I think you note, as I do in the article, to your people as a pastor. I'm largely writing to pastors in this. It's you note that politics has become more religious, and that's specifically because we've removed God from the equation. And so, as I said, leftism is a total worldview. It's a total religion. And so they've invaded into the realm that has normally been left for religion to determine certain things. And so it's not us who are not doing our, it's not us who's invading a territory that we shouldn't belong in. It's them. And so I think what we need to do is to look back in our history and open our Bibles and realize the Bible speaks about these things. And if you think things like religious liberty, parental rights, the life of the unborn, if you think those things are worth fighting for, and the Bible clearly tells us they are, then, pastor, it is your job to speak on these things and to equip your people to think through these things biblically. Now, we do have to balance that without letting that become the main thing. That's not the main reason we gather on Sunday, right? We are gathering to worship Christ, to declare his lordship, and to await him and work towards his kingdom. But as we preach to the Bible, there are very clear application points that you should be making. And if you don't shepherd your people in this area of life, they will be shepherded by somebody else.
Do you run a risk of becoming a target for maybe an attorney general, maybe a tax commissioner, maybe even at a federal level, IRS personnel who say, okay, if that's how you're going to play it, you're not a religious group. You're now a political group. And because of that, there should be some increased scrutiny. Do you run a risk of that?
Well, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak too authoritatively on that, but I would be, you know, I haven't. I don't endorse people from the pulpit, and that's where the Johnson Amendment really targets on tax-exempt status as endorsing candidates for office. And so I don't do that. I teach on what the Bible says about different issues, and that we should live according to the Bible, and that is clearly a religious thing. And should someone like an Ellison want to target a church, I welcome, especially with today's Supreme Court, I would welcome that type of challenge. Go ahead, try to target somebody because of their religious beliefs. The First Amendment is crystal clear.
Yeah, did you see the California decision that came yesterday? I spent a little bit of time earlier in the show talking about the Supreme Court, and it said to California schools that we no longer have this mandate to get approval from the student to approach the parents. I just wonder your reactions on that.
I mean, it's kind of like a duh moment, isn't it? Like, parents are parents. Like, our children don't belong to the state. They don't belong to the schools. And again, this is one of those things that we should be pressing, because transgenderism and issues like this are a really big losing issue for the left. They really are. The majority of Americans are with us on this. Boys are boys, girls are girls, and parents are parents. And the state can't replace us. So I'm very happy with that ruling from the Supreme Court. I expect more similar rulings on similar issues.
One of the points you make in your column is that Christians must not be intimidated by the vitriol of our opponents. And I think that's very wise to say, and I thought your words were perfect because you summarized it in just a few words. It was concise and clear. But it's easy when someone calls you whatever name, calls you a racist, you hate children, you hate people with black and brown skin, you hate whatever the label is. But they're really good. The opponents are really good at making us feel uncomfortable, especially people of principle who are shocked at the thought of being called a racist. But you make this point that we can't be intimidated by that. How do you respond if you feel like you're seeing some of that vitriol?
Well, I believe I pointed out in the article that Jesus told us this was going to happen and that we should rejoice. And I admit it's hard when somebody calls you one of those names to want to rejoice, but we should remember that they did the same to our Savior. And this is not a new tactic. We can go back throughout all of church history. the world will intentionally misrepresent Christians. I mean, even in doing a an interview like this, it's the world primarily views Christians through political lenses, but we're not primarily political. We're not. Now, our beliefs must inform our politics, but we're primarily believing in Christ as Lord and Savior. And that has unrevocable political implications. But that's, again, for them, politics is their religion, and so they view everything through a political lens. So we do need to make sure that as we communicate, particularly on Sundays, that we keep the main thing the main thing, but the main thing informs everything.
Pastor, just about 30 seconds left, but do you see hope here? Do you see that something's happening within Minnesota that might turn the tide a little bit at some of the government maneuvers that have happened here?
I preach to my people about this all the time. We don't need to be Pollyanna and pretend like everything's okay, but Christians can never be people of despair. There's always hope. God rules history, including the history of Minnesota. I don't know what comes next, but our call is to be faithful no matter what it is, and to trust that God will bring good out of it.
Yeah, your column said the enemy's tactics are not new. They cannot stop the advance of Christ's church, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. Great words of hope there. Pastor Secord, thank you for your time. Keep up the good work down there, my friend, and hopefully we can visit with you again sometime.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Take care. Pastor Levi Secord, pastor of Christ Bible Church in St. Paul. When we come back on the Steve Alshim Show, a healthy you might include lifting weights and getting a dog. Yes, there's research behind this. We'll talk about it next. The Fieldstone Group, our parent company, is excited to welcome Stacy Manning to Fargo. Stacy is the author of a book called Race Conservative in a Woke City. It will be taking place at Capstone Classical Academy Saturday, March 28th, 7 to 9 p.m. VIP reception at 6, appetizers and a meet and greet as well. Tickets start at just $25. The event is designed to equip parents with practical tools and the confidence to have thoughtful and age-appropriate discussions with their kids on complicated cultural topics. These are conversations that a lot of families, parents want to have, but you don't always know how to approach them. Well, this is going to be right up your alley if this is you. So we hope you'll be able to join us at Capstone Academy Saturday, March 28th, 7 to 9 p.m. You can go to am1100theflag.com and scroll down a little bit on the page, and you'll see then a little banner for the Stacy Manning event. Would love to see many of you there. Should be a really fun Saturday night. It's just good to get together, right, with other like-minded people and kind of bond over these little battles that we fight each day. All right, I've got a couple of stories about living healthier. This whole Make America Healthy Again thing has kind of got me excited. I like thinking about things and talking about things that maybe I haven't given as much time to before. My wife, for instance, she gets nervous about me using the same plastic bottle. I'm one that I like to get a plastic bottle, and I put some liquid IV in it, shake it up, and when it's gone, I wash the bottle and get it back, and then put the stuff in there again and use it over and over again. And she's like, I don't think that's a really good idea. Well, I never would have thought of that. But there are more of us that are thinking about how do we do this life thing a little bit better. And a couple of stories that just jumped out at me today as I was searching for interesting content, new things that I'm seeing here online. And the first one is New York Times has an article about a new batch of studies that have been released, finding that owning a dog is associated with a 24% lower risk of dying from all causes over the course of 10 years. I don't exactly know what that means. I think it means that you're 24% more likely to live over 10 years than die if you have a dog. Your risk is 24% lower. That's crazy. If that number is right, 24%? I mean, that's not like 5 or 10. I would have thought maybe 5 or 10. But 24%? That is really interesting. There have been studies over decades, right, about lower blood pressure, lowering your anxiety and stress level, and those kind of things. We get all that. But one of the side notes in this story was that the tendency, if you have diabetes, for instance, or your dog has it. Where's that note here? This is a study was done by Swedish researchers and veterinarians, And they have got research showing that if a dog has type 2 diabetes, its owner is also more likely to develop it. That's a mind bomb for me. I would never have thought that. Second story here for you. We think about as you get older, you know, you got to stay in shape, drink your water, and get out and walk and all that. But there's a story that was published in Washington Post that talks about lifting weights. And the study came out from the Journal of American Medicine, and it researched a group of women aged 63 to 99, and they checked women's health, fitness, grip strength, and lifespans. And they said the results were a little bit of a surprise that strength, physical strength, turned out to be a key and a singular contributor to longer lives. So, mama, get in the gym and pump some iron. Apparently, that's the way to do it. If you do that, you will reduce the risk for an early death by as much as 33%. And it didn't seem to matter what your health, your age, your exercise habits were, but if you were physically stronger, you had a longer life expectancy. And I've heard this, that you know, having more muscle on your frame causes you to your metabolism to be higher, causes your hormones to regulate. There's a lot of things that go along with muscular fitness. And I remember talking to a friend of mine, and his daughter is in like physical therapy, and she talked to him about that, said, you know, Dad, Mom, you can't just, you know, go jogging, whatever. You have to be lifting weights. Muscular strength is really, really important about this. This is really interesting. There's another study that came out back in 2024 of 10,000 men and women that found that weak grip strength equated to an increased risk of early death. So lift some weights might be the way to do it. Before I finish up first hour here, I want to say thank you and congratulations to Pete and Vanita Best. I've gotten to know the Best out here in Watford City. They're ranchers. Vanita is one of the key people in city leadership here as well. They do an annual bull sale, and yesterday was their 12th annual. And I've been telling Vanita for 3 years, I'm going to get out to your bull sale one of these days, and it was yesterday. And they ran about 100 bulls through, and they had some horses as well. I wanted to buy all of them. I grew up on a hoggy cattle farm. We had horses, and it brought me way back. That was the way back machine there yesterday. And that was a really fun day. Got a chance to just hang out with good, down-to-earth people. And I texted my buddy Scott Hennon during, I said, I don't know there's many Kamala voters here at the Best sale today. And what a beautiful place they have out in the Bluffs, just southeast of town. So congrats to Pete and Vanita. Hour two of the program, The Key Three, coming up next. It is time for The Key Three, how we kick off the second hour of the program. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Well, there's a lot of them that I could pick from today, but I'm going to go with these three. Number one, I don't know how you can do any sort of news talk program without talking about the significance of what's happening overseas in Iran. So I've got this as number one, what to know about our potential for troops on the ground in Iran. I don't know why this is such a big deal in my mind, but it just is that. The war changes for me, and maybe war isn't even the right word. Conflict might be a better way to say it. The conflict changes in my mind, and maybe becomes a war, when you have troops on the ground. And we've been told by the president, Marco Rubio, Pete Hegseth, everybody, that this is not an ongoing war. The president said he wanted to keep us out of ongoing wars overseas when he campaigned, I think both times. So if we have troops that are stationed there, you know, going about the business of enforcing or changing or whatever they're doing, to me it feels different. The Venezuela thing was an in and out. We were at it from the sky. We were never in there except a handful of people that were in for a short amount of time to examine the site, the facilities, and then they got out. I think that's easier for us as Americans to come to grips with than, okay, we're going to be there 4 weeks, 5 weeks, maybe longer, and we are going to have troops on the ground. So a couple of notes on that that have come out over the last 24 hours. President Trump told the New York Post yesterday that he will not rule out sending ground troops into Iran if necessary. Pete Hegseth said yesterday as well that currently there are no U.S. boots on the ground in Iran, but he did not rule out the possibility if the conflict widens. So both of them are basically saying the same thing. Maybe you don't care. Maybe it doesn't matter too much to you. To me, it feels different. Now, if the situation changes or the situation has changed, and we say, as a government, as an administration, hey, I know what we said before. We don't want ongoing wars either. But based on what has happened recently, things have changed. You know what? That happens. That happens. And you know what? Donald Trump is not a liar if that happens. It means that things change and you respond accordingly. So we'll see what happens here. I don't know at what point you call this a conflict and when it changes to a war, but I feel like if we have troops on the ground, then it changes for me. It feels like a war versus a mission, if you will. Now, I also will say that you've got to allow the president and Secretary of War Hegseth to say whatever they want to say to keep people guessing. That's how it goes sometimes in these kind of exercises. You don't want to know. You want the other side to know what you will or you won't do. And sometimes I think that, even though I think the president has handled this and the Venezuela thing very well to this point, I do feel like, boy, you don't even need to say that much. Just say, you know what, that's for us to know. And we don't want to comment on what we will or we won't do. So I am... I'm crossing my fingers, keeping the troops in my prayers, and hopefully you do as well. But that's probably the biggest story for me, is what's been said and what we know to be true about boots on the ground in Iran. So that's story number one. Story number two, state of Minnesota is seeing a steady increase in the use of its extreme risk protection orders. This is a fancy way of saying red flag laws. Cases there have more than doubled since 2024. The law allows family members or law enforcement to petition a court to temporarily remove firearms from individuals deemed to be a significant danger to themselves or others. In January of 2026, so just 2 months ago, petitions were filed and granted in the state. 32 of them were filed and granted with zero denials as officials continue to promote the law as a tool to prevent suicides and mass shootings. I've given you my stance on this many times. I'll just quickly say, if you are new to the show and haven't heard again, I understand where they're going with this. And if used responsibly every single time by well-meaning and people with good intentions, I think there's some value to the concept. But to me, the devil is in the details. Who is qualified to say this is a problem? How do we know? Because it is the right to keep and bear arms, constitutional amendment, part of the Constitution that allows that to be a factor. So you better not tread on that without knowing what you're doing. So on the whole, I tend to be disappointed in these things, and I tend to wish that these things were not on the books. So these are the complicated issues of life. And finally, we've talked a lot on this show about pilots, Renaissance Zone tax incentives, TIFs, all of that. Well, you remember that downtown Fargo apartment complex that was denied the 20-year tax exemption not too long ago? I think they're based in Pennsylvania somewhere. They have a new plan to build their $94 million project, and they've broken it up in pieces. The first piece they had already taken care of, that the state had approved some income tax exemptions. So you can get an exemption from state income tax on any income derived from the business or investment location for 5 years. That apparently has already been done. Second one was last night, Fargo City Commission, where they voted on a five-year, 100% tax exemption worth about $1.7 million. Now, this is a 262-unit project at 12th Street North there, and a $94 million project size there. Commissioners Kolpak and Turnberg voted against the motion, which means Commissioner Pepcorn voted for it. Dave has been a proponent of these for quite some time. Indiana, that's where they're from. The Annex Group is going to start working on this project in the coming weeks, plans to open in early 2028. Now, they are also trying to figure out how to get an additional 15-year tax break through the pilot program. That's the one that has to be approved by the Cass County Commission and the school board, and they voted against that. So they have the five-year locally now, and they have the state piece of it apparently in line. Can they get the other 15? Don't know. But if they can't, I think those who have said, hey, we need to draw a hard line against this stuff. 20 years is way too much. My friend Jay Thomas says this all the time. He says, I don't mind something, but 15 years, 20 years is way too much. And if that's what it takes, like there's a point here at which developers will not want to be part of the scene. I don't know where that is. Is it a year, two, five, whatever? Well, it looks like they're willing to go ahead with this project with five. So in this case, I would say that the fiscal hawks, the Tony Gehrigs of the world, and the Jay Thomases of the world in this case, are the winners. And they got it right, and I would say I got it wrong, because I've said I've got no problem with 15 years. If you have an empty lot that gets turned into something, you just got to watch your spending for 15 years so you can live that long as a city government, and then you get the windfall from that. But if you can get it done in five, even better. So it looks like in this case, they're planning on going ahead with the project, even though only 5 years of this is guaranteed. So I think this is a really important subject and something definitely to watch, because I think other developers will be watching for this as well. So they have five. Will they get the other 15? I don't know. It doesn't look like there is an easy way to go ahead and do that. And in the coming days, we'll get Commissioner Turnberg on the program, Commissioner Pepcorn, and we'll be asking them about that. Curious that Denise Kolpak as well voted against the motion there. So they are hoping to break ground on this project. It's a five-story project in the coming weeks, and they hope to open in early 2028. Housing, fitness center, indoor play area, pet area as well. So we'll see what happens there. But it looks like this project is going to go, which looks like a good thing for our community. All right, when we return here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show, the best thing I heard all day, and I have to be honest with you, I'm using that term loosely today, that when we come back on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. Every Tuesday, we get a little smarter thanks to our buddy Chris Buckingham from Solve CXO, and he's back on the phone with us today. Chris, I know you got a big shindig coming up there, your interactive business owner workshop coming up soon there. Why is it so important for business owners to be thinking about this stuff continually as far as managing the growth of their company?
Yeah, good morning, Steve. You know, if they don't, owner burnout's a real thing. I lived it, so I've been through that experience. And if your business grows too fast, it'll plateau, and you know, it can cause other challenges when you have growth without structure, and that just creates additional chaos. So your team gets confused, your decisions slow down, the margins aren't as good as they should be. So as the owner, you just have to, you end up working harder, but the gains are less and you have less control. So it's really about, let's be intentional to build the systems, the leadership depth, and then you can scale in a way that's less painful and more profitable.
The seminar is coming up 1 week from today, March 10th at 10 o'clock in Fargo. Register today at solvecxo.com, solvecxo.com. So what I hear you saying, Chris, this isn't just about working less.
No, it's about, you know, you need to learn as a leader to lead differently. You know, scale requires making sure that there's accountability and clear roles for your team, that they have the ability to make decisions without you, and ultimately execution. So you know, this workshop that we're focusing on really walks through practical frameworks, things that we've experienced in our lives already. So, you know, as owner operators, you can move from, you know, somebody who's created a business for yourself to a true business leader and not lose momentum.
Why would someone want to register now? Is there a benefit to signing up early?
We do have limited space, so seating is a little limited, but it's a complimentary event too. So if you're not able to attend, then we also are providing a copy of the recording to people. And you, if you're serious about scaling and not just surviving, this is really going to help give you direction and some discipline. And if you just continue to wait, it's just another quarter, month, weeks of frustration.
Scaling a startup without breaking the founder. March 10th, 10 o'clock in Fargo, 1 week from today. Register today at SolveCXO. SolveCXO. Chris, thanks again. Good to visit with you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Steve.
All right, take care. SolveCXO.com is where you get all the good information there. Always good to talk to Chris. All right, 10:23 here on the Steve Holstrom Show, and it is now time for Best Thing I Heard All Day. I will let Mike Tobin from Fox News Channel set this up for you. As I mentioned to you earlier, I'm kind of expanding the definition of Best Thing I Heard. This one got the hair on the back of my neck to stand up a little bit, so I guess I have to say this is sort of the Best Thing I Heard All Day.
So with all the stuff going on in Iran and the Middle East, there are some stories that I can't shoehorn on the air. And one of them is that some of these Minnesota protesters now want to get paid time off under the Family and Medical Leave Act. It's not clear if they're claiming that they were traumatized by ICE enforcement or somehow injured by the tear gas or rough enforcement. But it became clear in the Labor and Workforce Committee that they want to get paid for not working.
As would any circumstance that causes injury or harm to the public. I think we have seen applications that have been tied to some of the violence that we saw in the as a result of Operation Metro Surge.
We do have evidence from calls to our contact center through references on serious healthcare condition forms that specifically reference Operation Metro Surge as a contributing factor to the need for leave.
And we took that to some Minnesota Republicans who, of course, think it's ridiculous.
They put themselves in harm's way. ICE isn't out there just tear gassing just random people on the street. They have to be impeding law enforcement actions, law enforcement duties. And I think it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You put yourself intentionally in harm's way, and now you think you're going to benefit from one of the most generous programs in our country, paid time off for up to 20 weeks.
All of this comes as the federal government is planning to withhold $250 million in Medicaid funds to the state of Minnesota. We'll see how things develop, and hopefully we can get this on regular air. We can get you a lot more detail.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. First of all, I would have to take a little bit of exception with a comment that the and I don't have names of who the lawmakers were, the people from the state agencies who were testifying there. It doesn't necessarily matter too much. But the lady who had said they are taking advantage of one of the most generous programs in state history, I don't like that term generous, because this program is being paid for by people who are funding it who in most cases don't want it. This is being paid for by a combination. Most of the money is being paid for by the state, which really means it's being paid for by the people of Minnesota, tax revenue in some way or shape. Government has no money of its own. It only has the money it can take from us. And then a combination of employer money that's being contributed, which I can tell you employers don't love this. Employees are also contributing to this. Not a large amount, but a couple hundred, few hundred, depending on how much you make. During the course of a year. This is not a generous program. Generous implies that someone has money and they're being very kind to you out of choice. This is not a choice, really, for anybody to be handing this money out. So with that being said, what we're talking about here is that some of the protesters who were confronting ICE, some obviously peaceful, almost all, peaceful, stayed on the sidewalk with a sign, shouting, chanting, marching, watching, whatever they were doing. But some protesters who got involved in the fray and interacted and clashed with federal agents now believe they're entitled to take time off and even get paid for it because of the new paid leave law. This, combined with the expansions we've seen over the last few years and that earned sick and safe time statute. Yeah, there was a law about this before there was the paid leave thing, right? We've got layers of ridiculousness in Minnesota. This is a situation where you can claim, I need to protect my safety, and it is, under the law, a valid reason for missing work. You can use your paid leave up to 20 weeks a year to deal with personal safety issues, and this could be PTSD, it could be stress, it could be anxiety. It's designed for survivors of domestic abuse. But, of course, it's going to be hijacked, and we've seen here what you heard from some of the state agency people, that we are getting people who are filing for this leave time because they are traumatized or feeling unsafe because of their interactions with law enforcement. I don't know that there's really much here that I can say that will add much more sense to this. It's just that if you take a look at this program and you see what it is there for, you knew this would be abused. And they wrote these definitions so widely that if your cousin's cat dies and your cousin is stressed out about it, you need to go spend time with your cousin. I mean, how many times does this really happen? How legitimate can any of this be? But this is what they have allowed to happen in that now infamous 2022 Minnesota State Legislative session. Something to watch, and we can only hope that smarter legislatures in the future will change this horrific law. I don't think anybody's going to really want it before too long. Back after this. 32 past the hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Coming to you from beautiful Watford City, North Dakota today from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wahpeton. You've seen a lot of those Lincolns driving around the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area. And they're all coming from Wahpeton. The reason is they've got a great way of selling down there, great service, and such cool cars, too. Check them out, drivewithvision.com. We are pleased to be joined on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Kelly Armstrong, the governor of the great state of North Dakota. Always thankful for his time. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. I'm a little concerned about what's going on overseas, as we all are, and wondering how long this is going to go for. And we've lost six of our servicemen and women so far, and that makes me very sad. But I also understand there's a job to do. How have you processed this whole thing as a leader of the state of North Dakota?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we check in with our National Guard, check in with our air bases in Grand Forks, air bases in Minot, and find out if and when we have any people who either permanently or temporarily call North Dakota home in residence are in theater, because we want to know what's going on. So we do that. We keep, I mean, for the most part, we keep that quiet. Just, I mean, that's how we handle it here. And so we have that information because that's where we start and then branch off. And then the other answer is, I mean, whenever something like this occurs, you can debate it afterwards or debate it beforehand. You deal with it afterwards. I mean, there's always armchair quarterbacking on all of these things, but you just say a short prayer for every man and woman in uniform that's in harm's way right now.
Mm-hmm. What do we know about North Dakota involvement here? Who is involved? We know we've got, you know, significant assets at our air bases that are involved when things happen like this at times. What do we know about what's happening in North Dakota, and are we involved directly in that theater over there?
I mean, there, obviously, when you have two air bases in North Dakota, you have involvement in this, and that's part of it. But the other answer is, this sounds stupid, but I mean it. We just, for security reasons and because it's Iran and all of that, we monitor it, we take care of it. But unless they do any announcements on their end, we allow them to handle all of that.
Yeah, makes sense. We
just do. We're not going to politicize this event in any way. We just want to make sure we know That those we want them to know we have their back if they need anything.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that everybody who is listening to our program right now would echo that. In Minnesota, they have confirmed that they have 200 of their National Guard that are being deployed over there. Is there any similar activity happening here? Whatever you can say about that, if we do have some of our people that are heading over there as well.
Not as of now, no.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. If they're needed, I'm sure they'll be ready and serve us all very proudly. I wanted to also ask you just a couple other storylines that are happening here, kind of in relation to that. I'm thinking about oil prices, and we're up about, 8% again today. Now we're in the upper 70s on a WTI price. That's good in some ways for the state. I know that the budgeteers have been trying to figure out how to handle state needs when oil prices have been a little bit lower than historical, and now prices are back up. At the same time, that means for you and Kirsty and me and my family, whenever we put gas in the car, it's going to cost us a little bit more too. How do you balance that, Kelly, as the governor of the state? There's always some good, some bad, right?
Well, I think the first part is, as the governor of the state, when you have men and women in U.S. uniforms in trouble, I mean, we like higher oil prices, not at that cost. Mm-hmm. Just not at that cost. I mean, this is about national security. This is about Iran, who for the last, 45 years, almost my entire life, is the largest state sponsor of terror, has continued to back away and slow walk and lie about their nuclear program. I mean, from the purely economic side, I think you look at it in a very simple way. We want robust oil cut prices from a free market, not from conflict, not from a place on the map that, quite frankly, does a lot to manipulate oil prices. And I just think we've talked to a lot of producers in North Dakota, and everybody's plan is to keep production flat over the next calendar year. And I don't think a conflict in the Middle East is going to change any of those decisions right now. So we plan for the long term, not the short term.
How do you, Kelly, as the governor of the state, how do you get notified when our reserve or our guard is needed to go over there? How does that sort of notification happen within the state and starting, I'm assuming, with you?
Yeah, they start with our adjutant general, and then he will notify us, and we will have a conversation. And I mean, we talk a lot about the guard in North Dakota, right? Like, we talk about them. They're there for floods, they're for tornadoes, they're there for fires. They are obviously super capable about helping us deal with all of the things that they have over the course of North Dakota's history. But first and foremost, they are a supplement for our national defense. And when things like this happen, this is when you really recognize what their primary role is for the state of North Dakota and for the country at large. So they follow very strict military chains of command, of which I am a part of now as the state commander of the National Guard. But when the federal government calls them up for these types of things, they call them up. And then we do what we can to support them and support their families and do everything we can as that goes on. But it's pretty structured.
Yeah. Do we have any of our Guard members down at Southern Border anymore? I know for a while, I think we had a few of our people down there. Is any of that going on anymore?
I do not believe right now. We just had a Guard troop get back last week from Lieutenant Guy was actually in D.C., and the Lieutenant Governor was there and welcoming him back. But we always have guys on, different rotations and in different spaces for that.
Sure. Yep. Makes sense. Thanks for the info on that. Just, I was curious about a few of those things and how that affects our troops here. I want to switch gears a little bit. Minnesota, state of Minnesota, has had some higher profile announcement recently with data centers that are coming to one to Rochester, one to the Becker Monticello area. Now there's one in Duluth as well. I know Applied Digital has been kind of doing its thing, and we're obviously getting ready for something to happen here in the Fargo area as well. Can you give us any other updates, anything that's imminent for data centers or the pipeline project that is going to be the west to east to carry the natural gas? Any updates you can give us on that?
So I think a couple things, right? Yeah, I mean, Applied Digital's got Harwood. They've got Ellendale. I'd watch the Beulah, Mercer County area. I think they have one, Coal Creek's a non-utility, and they've been in a lot of conversations with a lot of different people about what fits on their overall campus. They're also a little closer to power. You know, I mean, the nice thing about Applied Digital, both in the Harwood area and in Ellendale, is they have found stranded power. So they don't need, they have figured out a way to do this where there's more power than is being used at that, those particular locations, which is really actually great because it's not going to raise consumer rates, which is one of the things you hear a lot. But I think, I mean, if you see any imminent announcements, I think in the near future, it'll be in that Beulah-Hazen area.
Okay. All right. We'll stay tuned for that. Wondering if you can give me your perspective, Governor, on the upcoming state convention. In light of the District 28 meeting, which I'm sure you've heard about down kind of the Lemoore area there, south central North Dakota, where you had a meeting that was interrupted and kind of a clash of people, and they're frustrated about the JetX line, and it's kind of led to a discussion about how are we going to have our delegates there. And it seems like it could be setting the stage for a very interesting state convention coming up here later this month. What are you watching there? How are you getting involved, if you are at all, or what do you think needs to be considered as we start to move toward that state convention?
Well, first, I will be the best man in a wedding that weekend, so I won't be there, okay. Which is a little frustrating. I feel like they should have maybe reached out. But I think
you can't get your buddy to move the wedding, can you?
I am not going to. I actually introduced them. So okay. I introduced the bride and the groom, and very excited about it. Two very, very, very dear friends of mine. And so that is, I mean, part of it. But I think just structurally and fundamentally what you've seen happen, and not just in North Dakota, but across the whole country is, you know, I have a different perspective on this because I used to have the job. Like I was the state party chairman for 3 years. And I think the parties are far too engaged in policy and not nearly enough engaged in creating the tools to help elect people to office. Say, candidates put their names on the ballot, candidates get elected, parties help people get elected. And when the parties start veering very much into, you have to do this, this is what you have to vote for, these are the policies you have to support, you are going to end up in a scenario where you have a lot of this conflict. Because no matter who the state party chairman is, even if they're elected unanimously, they're elected with 54 votes. I mean, that's essentially the way it works across the state of North Dakota. And I think we've seen this in North Dakota. I've watched it happen. We make these meetings so unpleasant that normal people don't want to go anymore. And so you have a smaller and smaller group of people that think they are making all of the decisions for the Republican Party in North Dakota. And I don't think that's a good thing.
Governor, just have about 30 seconds. Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, well, there's got to be sort of a... okay, how are we going to do this kind of a thing here going forward, no doubt. I do have one
question. Keep in mind, I'm a little biased. They did censor me twice, so.
Okay, yeah, I get it. Have you been watching what's been going on in Florida with the property tax discussion? I only have about 30 seconds left, but your thoughts on what you're seeing there, and can that any of that be a model for North Dakota?
I actually think North Dakota is a model for everywhere else. We've created the most durable. Now, we're lucky we have a legacy fund, but we look at a lot of what's being said, and I don't know what their final piece of legislation is, but we're very blessed, and we have a durable funding stream independent of $77 oil or $61 oil. And I think we have, if we leave this alone and keep it intact, we can get primary residences to zero within the next decade, or at least most of them. So I'm really excited about our program.
Yeah, apparently they're trying to do it where the schools are separate from the city budgets, and it's an interesting conversation, but one that'll probably require another visit. Kelly, we know you're super busy. Always appreciate the time. Great to visit with you today.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care. North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong checking in here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Appreciate his time very much. What did you think about what you heard from the governor? I thought the news coming out of there was something that I thought was very notable, and we'll talk about that coming up next. Congratulations to the Concordia women's basketball team. They have not only secured an at-large bid to the Division III national tournament, but they are also going to be hosting one of the regionals Friday, and if they win Friday, Saturday night. They finished the regular season 20-4, lost in the conference championship game to Bethel in a tight game there as well. The first time they've hosted games since back in like, man, early 2000, I want to say it was like 2005. So they're having one of their best seasons in decades, and going to be fun for Cowper fans to jump out there. Spuds are going to be down playing in the state hockey tournament, the Moorhead boys hockey team, at the same time. So Moorhead will be sort of the sports capital of the world, but a lot of people will be down in St. Paul for that. Let's go back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Fred is on the line, and he wants to talk about what's going on in Minnesota. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, good morning here, Steve. Say, just wanted to back things up a little bit and make a comment on that 20 weeks of paid leave for Minnesota.
Yes,
boy, what a great deal. I mean, think of it. If you just stagger your starting dates, you could get 3 part-time jobs in a year, get your 20 weeks off, you wouldn't have to go to work at all. I mean, Minnesota's going to be the new retirement state to come here. Get paid, you don't have to work, and there,
Fred,
you go.
You're on point today, Fred. Yeah, good stuff. I am trying to think about this, and I don't know if it's part time. I think the 20 weeks is related to full time, but you might know more than I do on this on this one. But your point though is right. It is amazing how this entire, and really this is what we're seeing on the left as a party sort of a platform, is like work is a bad thing. And I think the good Lord created us to work and be proud of a job well done. And I just think the human spirit does better when we toil at something. And I know that sounds old fashioned, but there's nothing like the feeling of working hard at a job and doing it well. You got something good done when it's over with. But there is a whole political movement now in our country that says work is bad and we should have the government pay you not to work. And we're seeing that carried out in front of our eyes here. And a lot of people seem to like it. They were hoping that, or they were expecting about 130,000 people to apply for this in the first year, and they have already had more than 50,000. So they're going to burn through every penny they have and then some on this program. And if you're a worker, I guess it's a good thing, but you're going to end up paying for it one way or another down the line.
Yeah, well, I think somebody can correct me maybe, but I know a person who does hire part-time people, and they said that they would be roped into this as well. So, but even at that, if it goes, I don't know how the dates run, but you could have, say, like teachers, they start in September and take your 20 weeks up till the first of the year, and then New Year starts and take your 20 weeks at the next year, and you wouldn't have to teach at all. And it's ridiculous.
Well, Fred, I did a quick search here while you were talking there. And yes, there is, it does apply to part-time work. You're going to get paid. You wouldn't get paid as a full-time, but you get paid as a part-time for whatever fraction of your normal time that you have. So it's proportional. You're not going to get full-time pay when you're a part-time person, but you're 100% right. The 20 weeks is does apply to part-time people as well. Yeah, interesting stuff. Fred, thanks for calling today. You make some great points. Thanks for calling the show, my friend. Have a good day.
You bet. You too.
All right. Thanks so much for giving a call. Yeah, the eligibility bar is pretty low here on this one. And I've said before, and I really can't emphasize it too much or too often, that this sounds like such a great program. But if you live in the state of Minnesota, you're going to pay for this one way or another. The employee is going to pay some. It's not going to be punitive for most people, but how many people want to have $20, $30, $40 taken out of their paycheck at this point in time? Or 10, 15? I mean, you kind of need every penny you have, most people. So it's the employer and the state that are going to pay for it. So the employer, you know where they're going to pay for it, out of the checking account for the business. The state is going to have to tax people to be able to pay for its share, which is going to be the lion's share of this whole thing. And then if you file the claim as a worker, you don't get full replacement of your pay. It's, I think, 70% for most people. So it's something, right? And if you do have a legitimate need for it, it's a good program to have, no question. But when you go to the, you know, go to the store, it's going to cost you more. Your taxes are going to cost you more because your city and state employees, the county employees, they all get this too. So the cost of government goes up. If you your power bill, your local electric cooperative, they have to offer this to their people too. So the cost of everything goes up, and your price of everything goes up and up and up. And this is why you're seeing a lot of businesses, business people, high net wealth individuals moving out of Minnesota. Sounds really good until you think it through. But the people that put it through, I don't think were really all that interested in thinking it through. All right, my friend. Well, thank you for being with me on the show today. Scott Henning coming up next with the What's on Your Mind program. I'll be back in the Fargo studio tomorrow for the show. Look forward to seeing you then. Have a great day, my friend, and keep on flying that flag.